All right, it's good to see each of you here tonight. Let's take our hymn books once again and let's turn to 317. 317, what a friend we have in Jesus. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please. 317. God's blessing on Brother Jim and Sister Donna as they left this afternoon to go on their little honeymoon as they just got married today. So that's an exciting time for our church. And as we go to prayer, we also want to pray for Brother Glenn Ziegler. We announced this morning that he had to go to the hospital last night. His back really is messed up and he collapsed. The doctors really can't do anything more for him because his back is so bad. So we need to pray for him and the family and the doctors that they'll have wisdom to know how to help him. He was able to go home, but he's in a lot of pain. So we need to pray for him. And then we also need to pray for the family of Sister Florence. She passed away on Friday at age 95. So need to continue to pray for God's blessing and encouragement on the family. And when we have more details about services, we will let you know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. We thank you for your word. Pray that you would guide and direct us. Help us to follow what your word says. as we've heard many times, whatever any of us say as human beings, our opinions don't matter. It matters what your word says. So help us to focus on the right things and do what will please you. Be with our pastor as he preaches tonight, that you would guide and direct him. Give him the words to say. May we all receive a blessing tonight. Thank you for our time together. Be with the family of Sister Florence. We thank you for all the many years you gave her and the testimony that she has been to so many of us here. We pray now, as we mentioned this morning, that you would raise up others who would take up her place and be the prayer warrior that she was. We pray also for Brother Glenn and Pat and the family, that you would just encourage and strengthen them right now. Pray that you would give both Glenn and Pat and the doctors wisdom to know what to do. We know that you can do anything, Lord, if it is according to your will. And so we pray that you would just take care of this situation and bring honor and glory to yourself through it. Thank you for our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
So say hi to your brother Les, Sister Nancy, if you're listening. Keep praying for you. Also, another announcement that we brought up this morning for those that weren't here, July 3rd. I forgot to print out the sheet because we were a little busy this afternoon. So July 3rd from 12 to 4, the church picnic over at the Caddy Park for July 4th. And then also, if anybody's interested, for Thursday, 6 to 7 over there on Front and Pine Street, just hold up a few signs for about an hour. So if you're interested, just let me know. That's all I got.
Already mentioned the wedding today. Obviously, most of you know about it already. There is a ton of food left downstairs. So after the service, if any of you are interested, you can either have some fellowship time downstairs and consume some of the food here, or you can take some of it home with you. That would be a huge blessing. Some of the food that's left over will not keep. So the hoagies and the that kind of stuff, that's got to go. We can't keep that around. So now some of the other stuff like the chips and the drinks and that, we can save that and have it for the picnic if need be. But the hoagies especially need to go. And there were two huge trays full of those when we left this afternoon. So hope you'll come downstairs and either eat some here or take it with you, one of the two. We would appreciate it. All right, let's turn to 415. 415, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. In the message, 534. 534. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. If you're able to stand, we'll stand one more time and sing. 534.
Can you change the last verse?
Oh, no.
good singing. Let's cut the preaching time off about 15 minutes. That's a good tactic, brother. A real good tactic. Hey, preacher, let's get up there and sing. Let's do three specials. Yep, the preaching time just went down 20 minutes. Yeah, I keep my voice. You know, then I'm going to step down. I'm going to call you up to preach. We're going to call preachers from the floor tonight. Amen. No, what a blessing. It's a blessing just to sing about Jesus. It's a blessing just to sing about Jesus, to sing about our Redeemer, to know that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Glory to God someday. You know, when he comes through the clouds, when we go by the way to the grave, it'll be worth it all. You know, as the hymn says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. So we're going to continue this evening our study in 1 Thessalonians. If you take your Bible, we'll go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to start here in chapter 2. Chapter 2, my fault. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Actually, let's just go back up to get some context to verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says here, it says, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And as ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye have heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also suffer like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity again this evening. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be able to come to church tonight. Thank you for the privilege to sing these songs unto you, dear God. You're worthy of it. Lord, help us to be about our Redeemer. Lord, help us to glorify our Redeemer. Help us to always be thankful for our precious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just ask for your wisdom and guidance again this evening, Lord. Don't know how to go out, don't know how to come in, dear God. Lord, I pray you just lead, guide, and direct my thoughts. Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes. I pray you'd open our ears to receive something out of this wonderful book. And we ask this now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So this evening, when I was looking back through the lessons I've been doing through 1 Thessalonians here, I realized that as we went on to verse number 13, I never really said much about verse number 12. So tonight I'd like to look at verse number 12 and then the very latter part of verse number 13. In verse number 12, well, to get in context, you read verse 10. Paul says here, it says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." Paul's saying here, listen, our conduct was that to where it was unblameable. There was nothing that you could put to Paul's charge or those that were with him in the church there in Thessalonica. There was nothing they could put to Paul's charge saying that he had an ulterior motive of bringing the gospel of God to those in Thessalonica. And he says in verse number 11, as ye know how, this is what he did. He says, "And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." Paul says, we exhort you, we comfort you, but then we charge you also. And this is the charge. This is the exhortation. This is also a comfort. Verse number 12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I kind of touched on it the last few messages here, but it is an honor. It is a privilege to be in here this evening. It is an honor. It is a privilege to have the word of God. It is an honor and a privilege to have the complete canon of Scripture. You know, I think today, myself included, that I just take for granted that I have a Bible. not only do I have one Bible, I got many Bibles at my house. And I take for granted sometimes how easy it is to get a Bible. You can go to Walmart tonight or someplace like that, Dollar General, and you can usually find a Bible. And that's a privilege because at one point in history, it was very difficult to even have a town or a city that had one copy of the scriptures. And there was a time where the copy of scriptures that they did have, it was chained to the pulpit so nobody could take it. So it's a blessing today in the country that we live in, that God's allowed us to be in, that we can have a Bible that we can pick up, that we can hold, that we can read, and that we can study and learn about God. Paul says here that for what purpose, Paul, are you charging them? That ye would walk worthy of God. That ye would walk worthy of God. That your life and your walk would bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm so thankful this morning for the brethren. I'm thankful to hear stories and testimonies of how individuals got saved. I don't know about you, but I love listening to somebody tell me how they got saved. I love it. I enjoy it. It excites me to listen to somebody and how God got a hold of them or what they went through, where God brought them up to the point to where they got saved. I love listening to testimonies of individuals and how the Lord worked in their life to bring them where they're at. That's an encouragement. You know, one thing I think that, and I've said this before, that the devil really wants to do in individuals' lives is he desires to isolate. The devil really desires and tries to push this to isolate believers, to get people off by themselves. Because if you can get somebody off by themselves and alone, that's a difficult spot to be in. And the devil knows that. And he knows that isolation sometimes will bring about discouragement. Isolation will bring about that I'm the only one going through this thing, that everybody else has got it together but for me. If I only was like so-and-so, if I only prayed like so-and-so, if I only lived like so-and-so. My preacher back home said one time as a pastor, he had a family come talk to him. And they said, preacher, we're just struggling. And they just talked to him about what they were going through. And they said, if we were only like this family over here. And he brought this specific family up to him. And he says, it wasn't much, like a week or two later, that other family come and talk to him. Said, preacher, we're just struggling. If we were only like that, the family that was there the previous week, they said they wish they were like them. We're not alone. We're in this together, and we all have the same struggles. We all have the same battles. You know, James said, I read it this morning, confessing your faults one to another. One thing that it's hard to do is to open up. You know why? Because when you open up, you're vulnerable. But I'm afraid sometimes if you don't open up, you'll never get the help that you need to receive. Being open with one another builds strong friendships. Being open and honest to realize that, you know what, I go through some of the same struggles you go through. And you can be in a help and encouragement to someone. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to talk about walking worthy with our God who hath called us unto his kingdom and glory. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14. It says here this evening, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should not... And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though ye have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And look what he's given us. And hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We find in his passages here, I'm not going to go through all of it, there's so much there, but we find two mentions here in verse number 18 that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation as an ambassador, as he says in verse number 19, the latter part of verse 19, committed unto us. What has God committed unto us? The word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent this evening, if you're saved, you represent this evening your heavenly kingdom. I never knew this though, but if a military plane leaves this country, I'll just use a cargo plane, a C-5 or a C-130 or a C-17, one of the big cargo planes that we have. If that cargo plane flies over into Spain and lands at the Spanish airport there somewhere in Spain, that is U.S. property, and that ground around it is considered U.S. property. I never realized, but an individual can run to that plane and seek asylum as if he's running and standing on the shores of the United States of America. I never knew that. That is actual U.S. soil. Wherever that plane's at, wherever that plane has landed, a little area right around that thing where it's sitting, that is considered U.S. soil, even though it's in another country, because it's representing the United States of America. And I never knew that if an individual was trying to seek asylum, if they could just get to that plane, it's as if they got to American soil. You say, why are you saying that? Because, listen, or a U.S. embassy in some of these countries. If somebody makes it to the U.S. embassy and gets inside the U.S. embassy, it's as if they are on U.S. soil. And the U.S. government will do everything they can to protect them or their citizens that are in there, in that embassy, if you can just make it to that embassy. So you say, preacher, why are you bringing that up? Because we represent heaven. And when individuals look at us, our lives ought to be worthy of the God who's called us unto the ministry of reconciliation. We are now ambassadors. There's no higher honor and privilege than to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom. And to bring you, what is your message? Your message is a message of reconciliation, that you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, his son, whom he sent. Look what it says there in 2 Corinthians, verse number 14. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. You see, as an ambassador, you're bought with a price. You're bought with the price of the Lord Jesus Christ's precious blood, and you're not your own no more. You're bought with a price. Chris Welton cannot just do what Chris Welton wants to do now. I can't. I can't do what I want to do right now. I have to do what my Heavenly Father says to do. Now, let me backtrack that for a second. I can do what I want to do, but I might not have no peace and I might not be very happy. Do you see? Once you're saved, it's no longer your life no more. It's your Savior's. And he says here that they live should live, not henceforth live unto themselves anymore. Who should we live unto? The latter part of verse 15. But unto him which died for us and rose again. For what purpose, Paul? That we should walk worthy of God who hath called us into his kingdom and glory. Take your Bible and look at Hebrews chapter number 11. Why? Why should we walk this way? Because we're not the only ones. There's many who have gone on before us. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. Hebrews 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Isn't that something? Can you imagine getting that call from God? Can you imagine going to prayer tomorrow morning? Or even tonight? Or whenever you pray? And the Lord starts to speak to you and says, you know what? I want you to go somewhere. Where, God? I just want you to start heading that direction and just go. But where do you want me to stop, God? Oh, no, listen, son, all I want you to do is I want you to get your family, I want you to get your stuff, and I just want you to start walking in that direction. But where do I go? Just walk that direction. God, you sure, God, this is the right message? Is the connection broken? Did I miss the city where you want me to stop? Did I miss the amount of miles you wanted me to go before you want me to stop? Is there some disconnection here, God? Because I don't think I got the full set of orders that you want me to have. You just want me to walk and just go. Yeah, exactly. Just walk and go. Look what it says. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, God called him to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. He obeyed. God says, you're going to get an inheritance. Abraham's like, great, wonderful. I'm going to get an inheritance. And he obeyed. And look what it says. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. But he was doing God's will. You see, God might not always give you the complete orders. He's just looking for obedience. Imagine Noah. I want you to build an ark. Well, for what purpose, God? Because I'm going to flood out the earth. What's a flood? I'm just going to bring this rain's going to come down. And I just want you to build this ark because you need to get in it. You imagine how foolish Noah felt building that ark for all those years? And people going by and mocking him, saying, this man's crazy. He's building this big boat for what? Because something's going to fall out of the sky and it's going to flood everything out. You see, when you follow God, sometimes people are going to look at you and they're not going to understand. They're not going to understand why you're doing what you're doing. Because it makes no sense to them. But if it's what God wants, it makes complete sense. Abraham went out. He didn't know where he was going. Look at verse number 9. Why? You know what God's looking for? Faith. God's looking for faith. If Abraham knew exactly where he was going and how he was going to get there, there's no faith involved, or very little if there is any faith. But when God says go and you don't know how you're going to get there or where you're going, but you obey anyways and you start walking where God pointed direction to start walking, knowing that you're going to get an inheritance, but you don't know when, you don't know where you're going, but you're obeying. You see, it's the same principle today for us. We've never been to heaven before. We've never crossed over to the other side. We've never seen Jesus. I've never seen Jesus before. Physically see Jesus to where I could put my hands on him? Never. I've never heard God speak audibly. I've never had no voice from heaven come to me saying, Chris, you're doing the right thing. I've never had the angel Gabriel appear to me and say, yes, this is correct what you're doing. My complete walk with God up to this point has been faith. And I think it's the same for all of you. Everything we're doing even tonight is by faith. We're trusting some book that somebody says that God wrote by some men thousands of years ago. And here we are gathered in Catasauqua, Pennsylvania in 2021 around this book thinking, yeah, this is what God wrote and we're following it. How do you believe that? It's by faith. It's all by faith. God says go. God says do. But God, I don't understand. Just go and do. Just have faith in me and trust me. He says in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Jump down to verse 13. These all died in faith. Look at that, brethren. These all, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Look what this precious verse says. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed. What did they confess? That they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, he says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and his glory. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Don't go off of what you see. Go off of what God says and trust him. Trust his word completely. Take your Bible, look over verse 23. Same chapter, Hebrews 11. Look at Moses for a second. I'm not going to be very long tonight, but look at Moses real quick here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look what Moses chose. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming, look what Moses says here, what Moses thought. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had a respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Some interesting things in those 4 or 5 verses right there. As seeing him who is invisible. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Listen to me tonight. I'm not going to be very long here. Moses saw the reward. Moses saw, through the eye of faith, Moses saw the other side. Moses put faith and trust in his God, and he realized, listen, this life's temporary. I'm going to choose rather to go with the people of God, even though I might suffer affliction, even though I might be made fun of because of the way I do things. I'm going to esteem the reproaches of Christ greater riches than anything that I can get in this world. Anything in this world that this world can offer me is not worthy to be compared with what God's got prepared for them that love him. And Moses saw that by the eye of faith. He saw him who is invisible. How can you see something that's invisible? It's a good question. But the Bible says, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Walking worthy of our calling of God. Now I'm going to close. Look back over at 1 Thessalonians. That latter part there kind of goes along with what we just looked at right there. That we would walk worthy of his calling. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to finish with that last part there. Verse number 13. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. The latter part of verse 13 now. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What is that he's talking about that effectually works? It's the word of God. The word of God has effect. As we looked at before in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Effectual means this, with effect, effectuously, in a manner to produce the intended effect, in such a manner as to produce the effect desired. You see this morning, my brain's all messed up. Look, God desires for his word to work effectual in your life. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants your faith to be greater than it was 1 year ago. How do you grow faith? How do you grow faith? Does she ride a bike yet, bro? She does ride a bike, yeah. She still has the training wheels, right? Yeah. And look, this man right here, my daughter, and I was with Lydia one time. We were out there, and we were at the basketball court, and she's got a little bike, and she's riding around. At some point, he's going to take the training wheels off at some point, or she's going to ride a bike that doesn't have one. But he's got to have faith and trust in her and let her go. He can't. There's no way. He's not fast enough. I know he's not fast because I've seen him run. No, he's pretty fast. He's not going to be. You can't keep up with that girl. No. Not. She's got training wheels on that bike, son, and she's like, right? It's like, lady, hold up. She's like, gone. So I can't imagine you take the training wheels off. You are not keeping up with that girl. I guarantee it. But when he finally lets her go without those training wheels, there's got to be faith involved. He can't be there right beside her saying, okay, now steer this way. Okay, now steer that way. Okay, put the brakes on. Okay, now speed up. Once she goes, he might be able to watch her and see her and even talk to her some. But she's going on her own. She's going to ride it where she needs to ride it. She's going to have to make adjustments as she needs to make adjustments. Even though her father's watching her the whole time, she's going to make adjustments and move and have to stop and have to go. If she falls, he's going to run over. But he's got to let her go. For what purpose? To help her to grow. There's no other way. And you see, God does the same thing with us. In order to grow our faith, there's times where God won't answer, just go. Just like with Abraham, how does Abraham's faith grow when you're going to a place you don't even know where you're going? But you obey anyways. What kind of pleasure do you think that gives God the Father? When he can look at the angels, and I don't know if God did this. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious to God, but it makes me wonder sometimes if he looks around and says, hey, look, that man's going, and he don't even know where he's going yet. What did it please the Father when Job didn't curse God and die? And he can almost look at the devil and say, see, you thought he cursed me and die. And now he's come out 10 times better than he was before. You see, sometimes faith requires you to do something that makes no sense and you're not going to get any answer from God. Because he's wanting to increase your faith. Saying that you don't have to hear my voice every second of every day. Just know that I'm there. My preacher says this one time. He says that his little boy one time, he's trying to teach him to sleep through the night. He's trying to teach him to sleep through the night. And he said he knew it got to a point to where he just finally had to put him in there and just let him cry it out. Had to. So he said he took his son Ben, he put him in his room, in his little bed. He said, I'll be right here, son, I'll be right here. You just need to go to sleep, but daddy's here. But I'm not going to stay in the room. You got to learn this. So he put him in the room and he left out and he shut the door and all of a sudden he started crying. Daddy, daddy. Crying out, daddy. My pastor said the whole time he was by that door and he's on the other side of the door. He can't see his dad. The whole time he's crying out, daddy, where are you at? Daddy, 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 just crying and crying. And he said with all in his heart, he wanted to open that door and go in there and just pick him up. Say, I'm right here, son. I'm right here. I'm right here. It's all right. It's okay. It's all good. I'm right here. But he said if he did that, it would ruin it and put him back, I don't know how long, to where he could finally sleep by himself. And so he had to let his son just cry and cry and cry. But the whole time, his son didn't realize that every time he's crying out for dad, dad's right there. Dad's right there, but he can't see him. He's saying, dad, where you at? I can't hear you, dad, dad. Dad, I don't hear your voice. Dad, I don't see you. And how often is that in our Christian life? We cry and say, God, God, where are you at? God, I can't hear you. And he's just on the other side of the door. And he hears everything you're saying. But he's trying to increase your faith. Saying, son, just go on. I'm right there. Just go on. Don't quit. I want to grow you. Because son or daughter, you don't see what's coming up. But you're going to need this faith that I'm trying to grow in you right now. So that when that thing comes up down in the future, if you keep going and don't quit, you're going to be able to go through it. He said eventually his son fell asleep. And he said he cracked open the door, and there he was laying right there at the doorstep. He said, picked him up, put him into bed. He said he never cried a moment after that. Every night he went to bed, didn't cry no more. You see, sometimes God does things in our lives that doesn't make no sense, and we're crying out to him. And we say, God, are you there? God, can you hear me? God, can you see what I'm going through? You don't receive no answer. It doesn't seem like anything comes to you. God, am I doing the right thing? God, am I following you the way you want me to follow you? Lord, am I just doing this in my own flesh, dear God? And there's no answer. God, why won't you answer me? So what do? You just keep doing what you know is right to do. You just keep doing what you know is right to do. Allow God to grow your faith. Sometimes God's going to be a silent God. Sometimes God's going to be silent. But for what purpose? To grow your faith. Because if he always answers us every time we cried out, there'd never be no growth in the faith, because we'd always get our answer. But it's those times when he's quiet that it's the hardest. And you start second guessing yourself, and you start wondering, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I where God wants me? Well, has he told you anything different? If he hasn't, just keep going forward, even though you don't know where you're going, even though you haven't heard nothing. Just keep going in the same direction that he pointed at the last time you heard him. My preacher said this to me one time, and I'll never forget it. I wrote down one of my Bibles. He said, son, because I went to my preacher one time. I said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. He said, what was the last orders you got from the tower? What was the last orders you got from the tower when you took off? What was the last orders? Whatever those last orders are, just keep doing them until you hear from the tower again. Just keep doing what you know is right doing. God hears you. God knows. He's right there. He's right there. He's right there. And not only is he right there, if you're saved, he's dwelling within you. The Holy Spirit of God is dwelling within you. He hears your cry. He hears your voice. He hears your prayer. He's a God that hears us. He sees the tears. He sees the heartache. He sees the struggle. You're not alone. God sees it. But he may just be trying to grow your faith by not giving you an answer. Just go with what you know is right to do until he gives you other directions and other orders. Walk worthy of the God who's called you unto his kingdom and glory. Allow his word to effectually work in you. Stay close to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight, dear God, that you hear our cry. I'm so thankful this evening, Lord, that I serve a living God. Lord, I'm so thankful this evening, Lord, I don't serve some idol or some statue. But I know that I got a God that hears me. And Lord, I pray you'd help this church. I pray you'd help these precious brethren. Lord, those that are here, those that are listening through the stream or by tape or however they hear it, Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's someone tonight that's just down, that someone that's just struggling, dear God, I pray you lift them up, Lord. I pray you comfort them, and I pray you'd help them. Though they may not have heard your voice in a long time, dear God, I pray you'd help them not to quit, but to keep going forward with doing the things that they know that are right to do. Lord, we love you. Lord, help us to love you more. Help our faith to grow and increase, that we would bring you joy, pleasure, and happiness by the life that we live here in the flesh. Lord, help us to walk with you. And Lord, I pray you just be with the brethren tonight as we go, as we leave out of here. Lord, I pray you protect them on the roadways. I pray you bring everybody back safely back home. I pray you be with Brother Les tonight, strengthen and encourage him. Lord, be with Sister Nancy. Lord, help them both, dear God. Lord, help Brother Glenn tonight, Lord, and his back, dear God. I pray you'd touch it in a miraculous way. And Lord, help those that are struggling, Lord, just to stay faithful. Lord, be with us now as we go forward in this week, dear God, if it be your will. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to close with a song. Let's see here. What page is it will be worth it all on? Do y'all know? It will be worth it all? 216. Let's, if you can stand, if you're able to stand, let's sing page 216. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. 216.
Thank you for this time that we had to gather together. Give everybody safety and travel on the way home. We pray these things in your precious Son, in our Savior's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Y'all dismissed. Love you all.